on freedom, who we have and what we have because of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing if you ask someone, what do you know about the Holy Spirit? A lot of folks would really have some fuzzy answers, or they would say something like this: well, you know what, I'm not in that denomination. It's sad that there's some denominations who they talk about the Holy Spirit, and oftentimes there's others and others who don't. But when you look in Scripture, Jesus made it very clear to the early disciples that there was going to come a time that he would go back to the Father. And when he would go back to the Father, he would leave to the early disciples the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to remind you, when Jesus is speaking in John, he is speaking to his original disciples. His early disciples, naturally, they had been with Jesus, they had listened to Jesus, they had heard him, they had watched him, they had seen him heal, and so many things they had encountered along the way. And then all of a sudden, Jesus tells them that he is going to go back to the Father. You and I can't begin to comprehend what must have gone through their mind and what must have happened in their spirit. Here they were, they thought that Jesus was going to establish his earthly kingdom. By the way, 2,000 years ago, even the disciples understood that there was going to be the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. You remember that James and John's mother came to Jesus and said, now when you come into your kingdom, would you let my sons, one sit on the right hand and one sit on the left hand of you in your kingdom? In other words, they understood that Jesus was going to have an earthly kingdom. Well, that has not yet happened, but it is going to happen because the Bible says it's going to happen. There is going to come a day and a time that the Bible says in the Gospel of Acts that Jesus is, or in the book of Acts rather, that Jesus is going to come back just like he left, and he's going to go into Jerusalem, and he's going to sit down on the throne of his father David. The Bible says he's going to have a rulership there for 1,000 years. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to the early disciples about his departure. He is really introducing them more and more to the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. What do you know about the Holy Spirit? Would you be afraid of the Holy Spirit? Oftentimes in the Bible, the word Holy Spirit is also translated as Holy Ghost. In the King James, you'll find the reference Holy Ghost, which is also the same as Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to follow along, because we need to understand a little better what happens when a person gets saved, and also we need to understand what happens, who this Holy Spirit is. It is saddening that a lot of people, you know, they live their life scared to death, frustrated. But if you're a child of God, you can never be alone. It is absolutely impossible for you to be alone. Now, you're probably saying, yes, I know God is in heaven. He's watching. No, I'm not just saying that. Because when you're saved, the Bible makes it clear that you have the very person of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. But I want you to listen to what Jesus is speaking. He is talking to his early disciples. He's talking to those early apostles. And is reminding them that he's got to go back to the Father. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Jesus is making it clear to the early disciples what the Holy Spirit is going to do when he comes into the world. Understand that before the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was not present in the world as he was after Pentecost. You look in the Old Testament, and you can find different times where the Holy Spirit would come upon a person, and then he would go his way, whatever the Father would want him to do. And when Jesus is speaking to the early disciples, he said, now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to leave. Now, imagine the fear that had to fill their heart. As a matter of fact, Jesus basically said in this passage, he said, I've told you these things, and you have all of a sudden just become so inundated with grief. In other words, you're wondering what you're going to do. They didn't know what it was for the Holy Spirit to be in a person. You and I know that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit is in you, but the early disciples had no awareness of what that was yet. As a matter of fact, before the early church, they didn't even have an understanding of what the church was. You won't find the church at all in the Old Testament. The church just was not there. The church came into existence in the New Testament, and there's a lot of information you could find out about that. But Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm going to introduce you to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen as a byproduct of the Holy Spirit coming into the world. Now, you and I need to understand who this Holy Spirit is, what he does. Now, there's no way we can understand in part, but we're going to be going section by section and giving you a bird's eye view, so to speak, of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verses 5 through 7, Jesus is revealing to the disciples, you know, whom he's been with for 3 years, that he's going to be leaving. And as Jesus was preparing to exit to earth and go back to the Father, Jesus tells them, he says, I go away. And he says, if I go away, the Comforter, if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come. Notice that since Jesus is on the earth, the Holy Spirit is not on the earth like he is. But he says, when I go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit is going to come. Well, what does this Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a person? Well, Jesus is going to tell them the role and the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. You see, ever since Jesus left this earth 2,000 years ago, what we're getting ready to share with you has been the role and the responsibility of the Holy Spirit of God. If you ask someone, you know, that is saved, said, when did you get saved? How did you get saved? Well, I invited Jesus Christ into my heart. I walked down the aisle. I prayed the sinner's prayer. But do you notice something that is common in every three statements I just said? Is the one word, I. One of the things you and I must understand is this. No one is saved or drawn to God without the Holy Spirit being involved. And so Jesus talks to the disciples, and Jesus reminds them that he's not going to leave them comfortless. But he said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Here's what's going to be different. The Holy Spirit is not going to live around you. The Holy Spirit is going to live on the inside of every person who is a genuine born-again believer. Now, I want to show you some things that the Holy Spirit does in just a moment, but here's what you must understand. When the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago, it was the Holy Spirit's responsibility to tell you and me that we're sinners. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. The Holy Spirit is going to be present, and his role and responsibility is to give you comfort, is to always remind you of his presence. And so the Holy Spirit, here's the difference, the Holy Spirit would live on the inside of you. Now, beforehand, before Pentecost, before Jesus ascended back to the Father, the Holy Spirit did not live on the inside of a person for all of eternity. That is a significant difference. You look in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had not come. But in the New Testament, Jesus made it very clear, and Paul made it clear in his letters, especially to the Romans. And so whenever a person is saved, the Holy Spirit, we need to understand this, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit has been a person for all of eternity and will be a person for all of eternity. The Holy Spirit is subordinate to the Father. What do I mean? You know, you always think of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is God, God the Son is God, God the Holy Spirit is God. But they are subordinate, and they've been that way for all of eternity. And so Jesus says, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving you disciples, but you're not going to live on this earth without power. You're not going to live like orphans that no one is with you. And so the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of every believer. That's why you can really tell, if you watch long enough, you can tell a true believer from an unbeliever that fakes being a Christian. Here's why. A true believer has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. A fake believer does not have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of him. The true believer, he has the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is always his guide, his conscience, telling him, guiding him, directing him. That fake believer pretends. He does his best or her best to pretend, but here's the reality. After a while, they'll give up and quit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not on the inside of them. And you and I are going to find at the end of life how many fake Christians there really are who, when the rapture comes, how many churches are going to have church on Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday, and we're going to be out of here. You know, when the rapture comes, our church is still going to have church time at 10 o'clock. You better believe it, because you'll be amazed at the number of fake believers. And Jesus said it was going to be that way. That's always going to be. And so the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is in the believer. And since the Holy Spirit lives on inside every believer, Jesus made it clear, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. In other words, when you prayed the sinner's prayer, let's go back to that time in your life when you prayed the sinner's prayer, if you're a Christian. When you prayed the sinner's prayer, you prayed something like this: Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I invite you into my heart to save me. Now, at the moment you were saved, you knew in that moment that you wasn't going to die and go to hell. But here's the sad part about it. That's about all some people ever know. And they don't realize that when they got saved, the person of the Holy Spirit came into their life. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Well, how long is he going to be there? He's going to be there for all of eternity because he's eternal God. And the mystery of the gospel, Paul said the whole mystery of the gospel is this: Christ or God lives on the inside of you. That's why a believer can handle more pressure, more stress, more problems, more difficulty, because he or she has God living on the inside of them. Now, think about it a minute. A lot of these disciples were going to end up being executed. You need to get the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. You think you have a hard life sometime, read about how the early believers were executed. Read how James was executed. Read how Peter was executed. And Jesus knew that they were going to need the Comforter. So he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. And so one of the realities is this: a truly saved person has the Holy Spirit inside of them. Well, you say, well, I don't know if I do or not. Well, if you don't, you're not saved. Because that is a reality of what happens inside every genuine saved person. It's so funny, not funny, but it's exciting and interesting when you hear someone get saved, and I talk to some of these young people or even someone else, and they invite Christ into their heart. First thing I ask, I said, do you feel a little something happening right there? And they'll use different words, and it's interesting. And it says, it feels all wiggly, or it feels all gooey, or it feels good. You know, because they're trying to find a word to describe. Here's what happened. The Holy Spirit just came to live on the inside of you. Now, see, here's the problem with some genuine Christians. They don't realize that. As a child growing up, I didn't realize a great deal that the Holy Spirit lived inside of me. And I'd get scared and I'd be afraid, and especially thunderstorms, lightning storms, and all of that. But here's what the Holy Spirit says, that he lives on the inside. And so the Bible says that he's going to leave the Comforter with us, and so we have him. And then verse 8 through 11, here's what Jesus says his responsibility is going to be. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now listen to the very first words. When he has come, he will. It is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit to tell every one of us that we're a sinner. Do you remember when you got saved? When you got saved, you realized you was a sinner. Who convinced you that you was a sinner? Was it the preacher? He may have preached some messages, but he preached it to everybody. It is interesting how a person can listen to the message, and I've had different people throughout my pastoring come up and said, "You was preaching right to me, wasn't you?" No, but the Holy Spirit does. He knows exactly what we need. And so what Jesus is saying, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes to the earth, it is his responsibility to convict the world. It's not your responsibility to convict somebody to tell them how wrong they're living. It's not your responsibility to tell your kids how bad they're behaving. Now, you need to be a good parent. You need to be faithful, and you need to do what you need to do as a parent. But the Bible says when he is come, he will reprove. The word reprove means convince. It is only the Holy Spirit that can convince anybody they're a sinner. I can't preach enough messages to convince someone that they're a sinner. I can't pray enough prayers, but it is the job responsibility, it's the job description of the Holy Spirit when he came into this world, and he's always been, but to come as Jesus declared for him to come as the Comforter, he convicted you of your sin. You was in the world, and he came and visited you. You started feeling that conviction, and one of our leaders said to one of our kids just the other day, and here it was so wonderful. He said, "I tell you what, let's just pray that when your time is right to be saved, that your heart will just beat out of your chest." And she got over to the fellowship hall and was eating some cookies or something, and she just started crying because the Holy Spirit convicted her. I remember sitting on a school bus going to school, and I thought, if you die, you'll go to hell. If you die, you'll go to hell. Now, there wasn't a kid around me that was telling me that, but it was the Holy Spirit convincing me that I was a sinner, because it is the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be reminded that that's the Holy Spirit's job, so we can relax. Pray for our family, pray for our lost friends, but don't try to convince them they're a sinner. You know, you're not doing this. You know, sometimes we can get in the Holy Spirit's way, but the Bible says he will come and he will tell Benny Bush that he is a sinner. He'll tell, and you can put your name there, tell you that you're a sinner. That's his responsibility. And he'll reprove the world of righteousness. The righteousness, what is he? It's amazing. You can talk to someone and when you share with them the genuine plan of salvation, they don't say, "Show me all the statistics, prove all of it." The Holy Spirit has a way of convincing the human heart of the righteousness of God. You've never seen Jesus. I've never seen Jesus personally. You've never seen God, but you know that Jesus Christ lived on this earth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit convinces us. The Holy Spirit tells us of the righteousness. And we know, you know, why do we pray to Jesus Christ? Because the Holy Spirit convinces us there's only one name given under heaven whereby we can be saved. So John is telling the disciples, he's going to tell, and as they would go preach from village to village, house to house, Jesus told them, said, you just preach the word, and it will be the Holy Spirit who convicts. It will be the Holy Spirit who draws people. And so first the Holy Spirit would come and convince the world of sin. And, you know, and by the way, notice that the Holy Spirit convinces the world. He don't just convince believers. He convinces the world. You know, sometimes somebody will say, well, how does the atheist, how does the pagan, and how does that person in remote countries in the universe, on the earth, come to know Jesus Christ? Same way you do. Don't you think the Holy Spirit is Almighty God and he can convict wherever? Sure he can. He has ways of convicting. You know, even the Bible says that creation declares of God. You know, the earth and the goodness of God. So, you know, the Bible makes it very clear. Second of all, the Holy Spirit not only convinces of sin, but he convinces us that we're guilty before God. Now, when you prayed the sinner's prayer and you invited Jesus Christ into your life, why did you do that? I guarantee you, you didn't do it because it was just fun. But you remember how guilty you felt before God? And I tell you, there's nothing like that guilty feeling, knowing that you're guilty before the sovereign of the world. And there's no hope for you but through Jesus. Think about it. People can have all the money, the resources, the homes, the houses, the land, the property they want. And what does that to the holy God of the universe who owns everything that there is? It's not even a raindrop in a bucket. And when we realize that, the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to create in us that guilt. I didn't make you feel guilty. You didn't make me feel guilty. It is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to make us sense that guilt and to know that guilt. And so, and he reminds us that we can't save ourselves. You know, there's a lot of people who say, well, I'm doing the best I can. But think about that for just a moment. How much can self help self? You know, we've got these self-help books, you know, 90 Days to a Skinnier You. And, you know, read the book, and you know what happens? We lose the book. Or, you know, New Year's resolution. Why do we have New Year's resolutions? Because we didn't keep the one last year, year before last, year before last, year before last, year before last. So we always have a brand new. Self cannot help self, only to a certain degree. I mean, you find a fellow drowning, and let's say I'm about up to right there in water, and I'm about ready to drown, and one of my dear brothers here says, well, Benny, I see you drowning. Just go ahead and save yourself. Well, I would if I could, but you can't. And that is what God does through the Holy Spirit. He reminds us we can't be saved by ourselves. We can't save ourselves. And so, third, it's the role of the Holy Spirit to convince the human heart that Jesus' righteousness is acceptable to God. I wish I had time to go into it and to tell you what happened to you when you were saved. But I'm going to tell you just a little bit what did happen. When you were saved, here's what God did. Now, you did not become righteous when you got saved. You didn't automatically become a good person when you got saved. You're still living a human body. But here's what God did. Let's say you have a bank account and you have a zero bank account. You don't have a lick of money to put in your bank account. But somebody inputs $18.7 million into your bank account. You still don't have any money. But you have $18.7 million input into your bank account. So you can write a check for $1 million and it will get you whatever $1 million will get. Well, whenever you were saved, God put into you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why we can talk to God with authority. We can pray with authority. We can ask with authority. The Bible says in Hebrews that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in our time of need. Why? Because God don't look at you as an orphan. He looks at you, if you're a child of God, there's my child, I'm going to listen to them. And God doesn't have, you don't have to try to get God's attention. You are a child of God if you're saved. That's why you ought to pray expectantly every time. Because the Holy Spirit convinces you that you belong to God. And the sad part about it is a lot of people don't realize that, though they are saved. They don't pray with authority. They pray scared half the time. And sometimes when somebody prays with authority, I think, well, what's happened to him? Listen, if my daughter calls me, she would think it odd for me not to talk to her if she rings my phone. And so when you ring the phone of heaven, you ought to anticipate the Father to answer your prayers. And a lot of times it's, you know, but, you know, Jesus made it very clear. It's the role of the Holy Spirit to convince us that Jesus' righteousness is acceptable. And you have the righteousness of Christ input into you. Now, notice what I didn't say. I didn't say you had a, you don't have righteousness of your own. but you have been credited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's why you're going to heaven. That's why when you breathe your last breath, you know, you're out of here, you're in paradise. And so, and the thing, what happens when a person is willing to pray the sinner's prayer, when they're willing to genuinely pray the prayer, not only are they, do they miss hell, which is, you know, a reality, but that's not the purpose of salvation. Did you know that? The whole purpose of salvation is not to miss hell. We've got it backwards because that's self-centered. The whole purpose of salvation is for you to live a life of honor to the Lord God, for not only for now, but for all of eternity. Well, look in verse 12 through 15. And listen to what Jesus says. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, Jesus said, I'd love to talk more, but you, there's a point of your limitation. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. In other words, future things. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now, Jesus knew the disciples' minds were limited. Your mind is limited. My mind is limited. Why don't we preach 3 or 4 hours on Sunday morning? Why doesn't the morning message go from 11:30 to 2:30, 3 o'clock? You said, oh, please don't. Heard a preacher say this one time, and I've tried to live by that. The mind will only intake what the seat will endure. And there is a point that your mind says, I can't take any more in. Sometimes Charlotte and I are in conferences, and I'll ask her, I said, you want to go back and listen to the fourth preacher? And she'll look at me like, you know, because you can only digest so much. And Jesus was telling his disciples that. He said, I know you can't take in anymore, but here's what I'm going to do. And here's what's so neat. The Holy Spirit is going to be in you. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. When you realize the Holy Spirit is in you, then it should be the normal thing that the Holy Spirit, since he lives in you, he gives you those silent whisperings. He whispers to your conscience. He whispers to your spirit. If he lives on the inside of you, you ought to make it so easy that you listen to him. I mean, you know, sometimes you'll say, and I've heard some of you say, I don't know why I said this. I can tell you why you said it. I know exactly. Because the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you mentally imprinted something for you to say or something for you to do. And by the way, we need to be conscious, we need to be aware of those inner voices. Now, we know, and some people talk about voices and you get all sorts of wild ideas and people hear voices, but the Holy Spirit speaks to our conscience. When you make it your business to listen, he speaks to your spirit, and that's what Jesus is reminding his disciples. He said, I can't teach you much more because you can't absorb it. You're mentally locked out. But here's what's going to happen. Listen to what it says in verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into truth. How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit out loud? Do you know what he sounds like out loud? How many of you have ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to you silently about a direction he wants you to go? Raise your hand. That's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to you. Now, I want you to listen. He gives to you directions that you need to go. For example, let me give you just an example. This is just out of someone's life that shared. She was going to a certain movie, and she didn't really feel impressed to do it, but she talked her husband into going to a certain movie. It wasn't a bad movie, but they encountered problems all along the way. And when she got home and she checked her spirit, she said, you know, before I went to that movie tonight, I just really didn't feel like I should. And her husband just said, you know what? It's funny you say that because I felt the exact same way. But she didn't listen, and she had problem after problem after problem. It is the role, listen carefully, it is the role, the responsibility of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you to imprint, to impress, to guide, to encourage, and for you to be a source of encouragement to others. Maybe the Holy Spirit will give you something to give to others. But that's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, don't ever, you know, I heard this said one time, you know, we talk to God and we call that prayer. If God talks to us, people say that's crazy. You need to anticipate hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit because He's going to be there. And when you listen to Him, He'll save you time, He'll save you energy, He'll save you money, and He'll guide you and encourage you. So He teaches us the truth. The truth about what? I wish I had time to tell you all the truths that He teaches us, but He teaches us the truth of who we are before Him. He teaches us He encourages us. He equips us. He guides us. He rebukes us. Have you ever been, don't answer this out loud, have you ever been disciplined by the Holy Spirit? Oh, you did something or you thought something and you just felt that inner guilt that nobody knew about it but you knew it was the Holy Spirit doing. That's His responsibility. So you will pray immediately and ask forgiveness. And so, but Jesus made it very clear. And not only does the Holy Spirit guide us and teach us, but He uses us to point people to Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you an example. Is the way that you point people to Jesus Christ, let's go out here and knock on every door. Well, the Holy Spirit works in people's lives. You may share something with someone and you just say, I just feel impressed to ask you this. Do you have a church home? No, but it's funny you ask that because me and my family have been looking. The Holy Spirit guides you to people to talk to. That's His responsibility. Now listen to the last part. He says, He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In other words, it's the role of the Holy Spirit always to glorify the Father. Therefore, a person who's listening to the Holy Spirit, their goal in life is never to point people to themselves. If you find somebody, some preacher, some teacher, some whoever, they're always getting people to look at them. That's not a person filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit never talks about Himself. The Holy Spirit makes it His business to point people to Jesus Christ. And what is so wonderful too is He don't just tell you about the present, He tells you about the future. Have you ever stopped to realize there's a lot of future in the Bible that's got to come to pass? Why has it got to come to pass? Because God said it and it has to happen. In other words, this world has to be destroyed because God said so. There'll come a day when this earth, there will be a death toll of 1.6 billion people within a matter of just a few weeks. Why? Because God says so in His Word. There'll be a day that you and I are raptured. We're taken away because God says so in His Word. But for all of us who are children of God, we live with comfort, we live with hope because we know we belong to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your truth. And Father, for the Holy Spirit who is within us, all who believe, Father, give us that wisdom to listen and to watch and to follow the prompting of the Spirit of God. Father, thank You for this day and have Your will and way in the worship to come. In Jesus we pray. Amen.